Thank you, Brother Scott. Good morning, everyone. What a awesome privilege for us to gather together again to remember our Savior and also to study His precious word. You know, we believe as a community of faith that the centerpiece of our faith is our Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. At the same time, we know about the living word only through the written word. So how do we know the living word? How do we know more about our Savior? How can we appreciate our Savior more? How can we love Him more? How can we minister to Him more? How can we follow Him diligently and sincerely? Because all these things are given to us through the written word. So the written word testifies and explains the living word. So it is equally important, the living word and the written word. Without the written word, we do not know anything about the living word. You know, there are some people who are very pious and they say, I love the Lord. Oh, I have great, love for Him. I would like to follow Him, but I'm not a good, Bible student. I do not know much about the Bible. But I think that's a very foolish statement, because the Lord doesn't want all of us to be scholars of His word, but people who love the word, who read the word, who meditate the word. And according to the enlightenment and illumination He gives, knowing the word and practicing the word so that we can glorify the living word. So that is the purpose of our Bible study, our word ministry, our personal reading and study of God's word. And I hope and pray that this morning's meditation also will encourage us as we look into His word to love the Lord and to serve Him more diligently. And today and the next Lord's Day, God willing, I would like to share some meditations, some practical meditations related to the end times. Practical Christian life in relation to the end times. So we will begin in Matthew's Gospel chapter 24. And today we will be looking at the Lord's warning about deception. And we will look into several passages, but this is where I would like to begin this morning. Matthew 24. This is 24 and 25. Matthew's gospel is a long discourse on end time events, generally known as the Olivet Discourse, an eschatological discourse about prophetic events, about the coming of the Son of Man, about the destruction of Jerusalem, and also about the end of the age. If you read the first three verses, you will find the context. And now, in verse 4, the Lord begins with the signs of the end of the age. So look at the first sign. And Jesus answered and said to them, verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. So the foremost sign of the end of the age is deception. There is a possibility that we may be deceived. That is the most important sign. And, but we usually neglect this. We think about pandemic and wars and rumors of wars and all the other things, nation will rise against nation. All those things are true, and those are described in the following verses. But that is not the first sign. That is not the most important sign, and that is not the foremost sign. And if you ask me, how will I know whether this deception is the foremost sign, I can easily prove it from this chapter, from this discourse, because this is the first sign that is mentioned. and also the only sign that is repeated by the Lord. No other signs are repeated by the Lord. So the repetition is for emphasis and also to call our attention. Look at verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Look at verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Look at verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, my only purpose in reading these verses is just to highlight that sign of the end of the age, the most important sign and the foremost sign, and the sign about which Jesus warned four times in this discourse. And he did not highlight any other sign as he highlighted this sign. That means we need to pay more attention to this sign. Now, the word deceive, that verb is the word planavo, a very interesting verb. And it is from this word we get the English word planet. You know, so the metaphorical meaning in the context is that deception is wandering like a meteor, like a planet, you know, turning and wandering and moving from place to place, leading astray, planavo, or wandering. So it is wandering from the orbit of truth. That is what it is. Now, false Christ, false prophets, cultic leaders, then many false teachers will be instruments in the hands of Satan to deceive God's people. We can be deceived through other means too, also. We can be deceived by our own false thinking. We can be deceived by our own carelessness. We can be deceived by our own hypocrisy. We can be deceived by our own spiritual immaturity. And Satan can exploit these situations in our life to deceive us. You know, I will give you a very practical example. In my own life, I have experienced it, and and probably many of you would be able to relate to this. It is not very easy for false prophets to deceive me, because I think I am fairly a good student of the word, and I am very careful in understanding the word, and I have been built on a good foundation like most of us in the assembly. So it is not very easy for false teachers to deceive us. But many a times in my life, I have been deceived by the thought that this is all what I need, you know, in my Christian life. That is, you know, no ardent desire, no aspiration to go further, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord more diligently, more sincerely. You know, especially when I was growing up as a teenager, I was always falling into this trap. I just want to be like others, just an average Christian. So for many years, I could not spiritually grow because I was deceived by others and also by the pretensions of others, people who try to impress others by doing certain rituals and set going through certain motions and routines. And I thought that's what Christian life is all about. I thought that's what assembly is all about. I thought that's what Christianity is all about. Even though I was born and brought up as the son of an evangelist, for many years in my life, I was deceived because Satan did not allow me to grow in Christian life. So that deception was not brought about by false teachers or cultic leaders or false messiahs. That was a deception created in my heart by the devil himself, deceiving my own conscience and my own life, and I falling a prey to that. So deception can come in many shapes and in many forms. The reason I want to repeat it, many of you who hear me would say, we are from the assemblies, we know systematic theology, the fundamentals of doctrine, we are based on well-rooted in the scriptures, and we have a great tradition like that in our assemblies. So nobody can easily deceive us with false teaching, especially in relation to prophetic matters, tribulation, millennium, end time events. There are many people who are deceived by eschatological issues because there are so many theories and confusion in relation to prophetic matters. So it is very easy for Satan to deceive them in those areas. But probably for many of us, that may not be a problem. So what is the practical application of this warning for each one of us? The end of the age, at the last days, during the end of the age, Satan will be busy in deceiving, and if possible, even the elect, even the saints, even the chosen ones. So that is a strong warning, repeated four times, and we have to be very, very careful. He can deceive us in our personal life, in our moral life, in our family life, and in our spiritual life, in our ministry life. He can confuse us, and he can deceive us. He can lead us astray from the real truth, from the real issues, and he can confuse our mind. We can be led astray, wandering from the orbit of truth. The orbit of truth, wandering from the truth of sanctification. We may not wander from the truth of the gospel, many of us, but we may wander from the truth of holiness, purity, discipleship, commitment, diligence, love for the Lord. Wandering from the truth in relation to Christian giving. Many, many other areas where we can be deceived. So, dear brothers and sisters, the foremost and the first warning of the end of the age is not pestilence. It is not wars and rumors of wars. That is all there. That's all in the package. But the first and the foremost sign is the tactic of deception by the devil. Now, come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This chapter also deals with the last days and perilous times. We know that. Like Matthew 24, 2 Timothy chapter 3 is also dealing with end times and last days. So look at Paul's warning here to Timothy, given to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, you know, this is going to be a very important characteristic of the end of the age. We can be deceived. Others can easily deceive us. The books we read can easily deceive us. Some of the TV shows which we watch can easily deceive us. Some of the politicians can easily deceive us. Some of the ideologies around us, which we hear and are bombarded with every day, can deceive us. Our university professors can deceive us. Our friends can deceive us. Even our fellow believers also probably can deceive us. So we have to be very, very careful. So there is every possibility that we may wander from the orbit of truth. You know, when a person is not very much interested in worshiping the Lord, not committed to worshiping the Lord, it is a deception, because he is wandering from the orbit of the truth of worship. When we wander from the holiness track of our life, we are wandering from the orbit of the truth of sanctification. Even though we are well founded on the gospel, you know, some people have, last couple of weeks, we studied from the epistle of 1 John about the importance of having confidence and assurance about our new life, because sometimes this can be a problem, always confused whether we are saved or not, wandering from the truth of eternal life. So the remedy to all this confusion and deception is basically that we should have a clear understanding of the truth of God's word. The word of God is the depository of truth. No, the other day I heard John MacArthur preaching about the word of God. So that's a very common term which all of us use. What does that mean? The word that belongs to God, the word of God, that means it is the holy word. It is the authoritative word. It is the most powerful word. It is the most authentic word, the depository of truth. Let God alone be true and all men be liars. We cannot believe and trust in anyone else. We can only trust the word of God and what we have to communicate to one another on the basis of the word of God. You need to believe and need to listen to me when I say something on the authority and on the basis of the word of God. If it is my personal opinion, it may be deceptive, and you don't have to believe that. It can probably deceive you. So that very common phrase which we use, word of God, that means it is the most authentic, serious, important depository of truth, the only truth that is given to man. So when we move ourselves away from the orbit of the word and its influence and its truth, it is very likely that we will depart from the truth. That is why the Lord warned us. Now we are in 2 Timothy. Just turn a couple of pages back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. We read about the entrance of sin into the world. And Adam, 1 Timothy 2, 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So the first sin of man, the fall of man, came through Satan's deception. Deception to disbelieve God's word. That was the deception. You know, so Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived into thinking that she doesn't have to take God's word seriously. That is the same deception today. Do not take God's word seriously. That is the first step in backsliding, orbiting from the truth. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 13, also the same truth is repeated when the Lord, Genesis 3:13, when the Lord visited Adam and Eve after their fall. And then when the Lord called Eve and asked her, what have you done? Lady, what have you done? And how did she reply? Satan deceived me. Satan deceived me. Deception is the greatest weapon in the hand of the devil. In deceiving the world, in deceiving unbelievers, and also in deceiving believers. That is the greatest weapon, deceiving. And that is the weapon he always uses against unbelievers and believers. Now, there is a very important chapter in the Bible that talks more about deception during the last days, that is Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, a prophetic epistle about last days and end times, about Antichrist and about satanic deception. So let us take a look at that chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So this chapter deals with the great departure from the truth, the great apostasy, the coming of the Antichrist, who is called the man of sin or the man of lawlessness. So this whole chapter is about him, about his coming in the future. After the rapture, the Antichrist will be revealed as the world ruler and dictator. And in verse 3, we read Paul writing to the Thessalonians, even during the first century, Paul's day, there was a lot of deception going on. So verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the apostasy, falling away, comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So in relation to the rapture, the second coming of Christ, there was a lot of false teaching even in the church, even in the first century. So many Thessalonian believers were confused about some of these end time events and the order of events and the truth about the rapture, the truth about the tribulation. And that is the reason that Paul wrote the Thessalonian epistles. So the Thessalonian correspondence was to help them to clarify their eschatological misunderstanding. In several places, Paul makes that very clear. So, verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means. So that is a warning he gives in relation to the last days. Then look at verse 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless one, okay, that is the Antichrist, the man of sin, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. So the great deceiver, Satan is called the great deceiver in Revelation 12:99, that is one of the names given to him. Dragon, old serpent, Satan, devil, deceiver. So Revelation 12:9 has five names of Satan. Devil, Satan, dragon, old serpent, and deceiver. The one who deceives the whole world. So in verse 9, the coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is according to the working. Not the word working, is the word energia, energy. Okay? So, who is energizing the Antichrist? Is Satan. Who is energizing the modern deceivers? Satan. Who is energizing our own deception? Satan. So the deception always comes through Satan, the working, energia, energy, the power, the force working behind it. So during the last days, there will be a lot of energy released into the universe, into the systems, into the politics, and into, if possible, into our own lives. Dear brothers and sisters, how careful we should be, how defensive we should be. You know, we are taking a lot of precaution about the, in relation to the pandemic, about the COVID virus, and how much more precaution and care we should take against the working of this spiritual pandemic, this working, this energy of Satan being injected into us from various ways, so that we can be spiritually weak. Now, you know, I prepared this message, you know, through my personal reading of some of these issues, like a lockdown reflection, you know, that during this time of lockdown, have we begun spiritually strong, spiritually more mature, spiritually more strong, better husbands, better wives, better parents, better elders, better deacons, better evangelists? Because we were going through a lot of challenges and limitations in our life. And, you know, the Lord was teaching us patience, to patiently wait. And things were not going according to our plans and calendar. Financially, we in our community, we are quite well off. Many of us are probably not affected by it. But the community at large around us, you know, is not financially well off like our communities and our families. Many of them have been very, very badly affected, not only in their health, but in their finance. So they have more excruciating problems and family problems, trials, than most of us. So it's very difficult for us to measure the intensity of that financial crisis that has happened to many people. You know, but let us ask this question. How has this lockdown spiritually helped us? Because the Lord allowed this lockdown in sovereign will and plan and purpose. It is almost 3 months that we have gathered together in our assembly hall. The Lord allowed it. But when the Lord allowed it, how that has affected me spiritually? Has it drawn me closer to the Lord and to His word and to His ministry? That the Lord has protected us from the COVID virus, given us strength and health. How that has spiritually uplifted me? Has that given me a new direction? Or am I being deceived by pretensions in my life? By that motion and routine Christianity, the motion of assembly life, you know, the motion of Sunday morning, the motion about which we have been taught from our birth. It's very easy to go through that without any genuineness, without any seriousness, and our own life being so anemic and weak and destroyed by the devil every day, deceived in our life, being slaves to sin every day in our life. Has the Lord delivered you from that deception? Are you spiritually strong? Are you a spiritually strong husband now, father or grandfather? How these things have spiritually affected you and made you strong? I know these things would sometimes make us a little uncomfortable. That is okay. But the Lord has a purpose in His sovereign will. He allowed these things to happen to the world, to all of us. So there is a purpose behind it. And Can we individually say personally before the Lord, Lord, you have accomplished that purpose in my life, and I am spiritually growing. I am confessing more. I am drawing closer to you. I am not being deceived. I was actually shaken by that word, working, energia of Satan. So when Satan tempts me, it is through his energy. I cannot undermine that. That is why I need to be more powerful, more strong, more spiritually vigorous, more spiritually fit, so that I can stand against his energy. You know? So the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about verse 3, let no one deceive you. Then verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So energia, and also then about power, Satan's power, energy. Look at verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. So those who perish are being constantly deceived day and night. You know, those who perish, they are deceived because they are falling into the traps daily. Satan is attracting them, enslaving them, deceiving them with supernatural means. Even today, you know, that's why people are always carried by signs, wonders, and miracles, supernatural means. So in the end time, look at with all power, signs, and lying wonders, verse 9. The word lying is the word pseudos, falsehood. That is another characteristic of the end of the age. In 2 Timothy 3, 5, we read, in the end times, many people in the church, they will have a form of godliness, a pseudo falsehood religion, but denying its power. They have the form of godliness, but no power of godliness. You know, in my own life, I know, I want to be honest, it's very, very easy to have the form of godliness and denying its power. It is like the wax fruit. You know, when I visit certain homes, on their table I see fruit, beautiful fruit. But it is not real, it is not actual, it is pseudos. It is made with wax. Appearance, but there is no reality behind it. Lying, falsehood. So Satan is not against the appearance of religion. That is why 2 Timothy 3:5, in the end times, many will have a form of religion. Form of godliness, not simply religion. No, for godliness means prayer, Bible reading, worship, singing, activity, pious talk, all these, you know, very easy to impress others. But they don't have the power thereof, like the wax fruit. It does not supply any nutrition. Those fruits cannot be eaten. It does not supply nutritional value. Religion can be like that. So Paul is warning the Thessalonians, during the end of the age, this trend will increase. Power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. Why they were deceived and they are perishing? Not simply because they rejected the truth, look at this phrase. I do not know whether you have noticed this phrase carefully. They did not receive the love of the truth. They did not have the love for the truth. So why did they reject the truth? Because they did not love the truth. That is why they rejected it. The truth was there. Truth became evident. The truth was supplied. Truth was proclaimed. And truth was convincing to them. But why they did not accept it? Because they did not love the truth. Do you love the truth? Do I love the truth? Are you offended when somebody tells about the truth? About our spiritual life, about discipleship, about commitment, about hypocrisy? When these truths come out one after the other from the exposition of the Word of God, are you getting mad at someone? Or do you really love the truth? Lord, that was the truth for me. I love it. I need it because I was on a perishing course in my life. The love of the truth that they might be saved. Look at verse 12. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. Love of the truth and believing the truth. They were condemned. This is about people who are perishing, you know. And they did not love the truth because, and they did not receive the truth. They did not believe the truth. So love of the truth and believing the truth. Instead, verse 11, the last part, they should believe the lie. Now, before closing, I would like to draw your attention to verse 11. And I would call verse 11 the scariest verse in the Bible. That is what I would call this verse. Because so far, we have been thinking about Satan, through his energy, deceiving people, believers and unbelievers. He uses false teachers, our own conscience, our own hypocrisy, our own bad habits, lack of truth, all those things, you know. We read in John's gospel that people denied. Even though the light came into the world, they allowed darkness more than the light. And that is why they were condemned. Now, look at verse 11. Why did I say this is the scariest verse in the Bible? For people who will not accept the truth of God will one day be deceived by God himself. Now, when I say that, I'm very careful because this is the scariest verse in the Bible. God himself will deceive you if you deny his truth. Have you ever heard that? None of us would like to think that. Look at verse 11. And for this reason, when people do not receive the truth, reject the truth, do not love the truth, verse 11, for this reason, God will send them the working of error, the energia here also, the strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. God will commit them to deception. Or in other words, God will deceive them. So, let me mention just a few verses. Revelation 12:9, Satan is the deceiver of the world. Okay, I'm just mentioning those words, but make sure we know those verses. In Ephesians 4:22, our old man and our lust deceiving us. Okay. Revelation 12:9, Satan deceiving us. Ephesians 4:22, our own lust, old man deceiving us. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitfully wicked. The heart deceives us. Our own heart deceives us. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1, God deceiving us. Satan deceiving us, our own lust deceiving us, heart deceiving us, God deceiving us. Now, it's not a very pleasant truth, you know, for me to say or to meditate or to proclaim. I was kind of, you know, very much shaken when I really understood the intensity of this verse. Those who persistently deny God's light, God's pleading, God's grace, God's promptings, God's leadership, and constantly fall into the deception of the devil, of our own heart, of our own fleshly lusts, and also about all the various energia from Satan working against them. Finally, God will give them up to deception from which there is no comeback. God will deceive them to believe lie in their life because they did not love the truth. Dear brothers and sisters, that is what we are finding in the world today. The violence and the brutality and the hardening of the hearts of many people, unbelievably bad and, you know, unbelievable crimes, apostasy, departure from truth. Because recently, did you hear some Christian singers, rock star singers, and other, you know, Christian musicians who composed songs and made thousands of dollars by selling their DVDs and music? They denied the faith. Why? Because they had fundamental problems, pretension of hypocrisy all through their life. We all believe they are fine Christians. Ha, how wonderfully they sing. There are some Christian authors recently who denied the faith. What is happening to the world? The answer is here. Your own heart will deceive you. Your own lust will deceive you. Satan will deceive you. And when people are not willing to embrace and love the truth of God, finally, God will give them over to deception, from which there is no comeback. I don't like to proclaim this news, but that is the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. The warning in God's word about the last days is mainly about deception. Let us make sure that we love the truth, we follow the truth, we make the appropriate repentance and confession in our life and draw closer to the Lord and be strong. Energia of God. In 2 Thessalonians 3, that word is used 3 times. The energy of the Antichrist, the energy of God, and the energy of Satan. Energy of Satan. Lord, I want to embrace your energy, your power through your spirit. And I commit myself to that, that power, that spirit, that energy. Let that be our prayer this morning. Shall we pray? Loving God, our gracious Father, we thank you for the solemnity and the power and the serious instructions in your word. Many a times we are reserved and reluctant to proclaim it because it is very unpleasant. And some of these truths are not tickling to our ears. But we know that it is a part of your revelation It is given to us through your energia, your working, and your energy and power. May we not be deceived by Satan, not deceived by our heart, not deceived by our lust, not deceived by hypocrisy, not deceived by form of godliness. Lord, we know about all the traps lurking around us. Deliver us from hypocrisy. Deliver us from falsehood. Give us repentance and confession. Pray that we, each one of us, may have lockdown reflections in our life, and we may turn to you in faith and in repentance, because your energy, your power, that is sufficient. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So your power is greater than all other energies and powers. So we thank you that thou art our Redeemer, Sustainer, God, and help us to love you and to serve you. Pray that thou may deliver us from all the tactics and deceptive scheme of the evil one, and give us victory in our personal life, spiritual life, family life, in our ministry life. We commit ourselves to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.